And welcome back to Channel 9 Live at TechEd Europe. I'm Simon Perryman, Senior Technical Evangelist, and I'm joined today by Vijay Tiwari. And we're going to be talking about one of our big new announcements we've made, CPS, the Cloud Platform System. But first of all, Vijay, why don't you introduce yourself?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Vijay Tiwari. I'm the Group Program Manager for Cloud Platform System, which was announced actually on the 20th of October by Scott Guthrie at an event in San Francisco, and then further discussed yesterday in the keynote.
Great. So, I mean, how long have you been at Microsoft? What do you do here? What teams have you been on?
I've been at Microsoft close to about 7 years now.
Okay.
I've been deeply involved in virtualization throughout my career at Microsoft and even before that. But for the past 2 years or so, we've been focusing very heavily on building an end-to-end solution for customers who are desirous of actually having an on-premises cloud. And that's essentially what a cloud platform system is.
So is this a piece of hardware? Is it software? Is it architecture? Like, what are kind of these different components that make this up?
It's actually all of the above and a lot more than that. You know, as we sort of looked at what our customers are trying to accomplish with the cloud, we recognize that, you know, about 50 to 80% of customers are actually failing to realize a real private cloud implementation. And the reasons that they were unable to do this actually range from the complexity in actually putting this thing together, unrealistic expectations, and the whole gamut of actually putting a real cloud and operating a real cloud is becoming really challenging for customers. And you know, one of the advantages we have as a part of Microsoft is that we operate one of the world's largest clouds with Microsoft Azure, with Xbox Live, with Office 365. And all of those gives us deep insight in helping us operationalize how to actually run a cloud. And we've taken those learnings and basically packaged that and giving it to our customers to actually help run their cloud on-premises.
Okay. Now, the general definition of a private cloud is a couple of things, right? You have pooled resources, you have self-service, you have automation, and you have constant monitoring. Do we cover all of these? Is this really a private cloud that we're delivering to our customers?
Absolutely. So with CPS, you actually get all of the above in a fully integrated end-to-end solution. So as you pointed out, you know, the top of the list for customers who are actually implementing a private cloud is the fact that they need a self-service experience to be able to consume the capacity on the cloud. And CPS comes with Windows Azure Pack pre-deployed and configured for you. So customers are up and running and can offer self-service to the customers who are trying to consume capacity off of CPS. Thereafter, you know, CPS is built using all of the automation tools and all of the management tools that customers are familiar with. So the fabric of CPS is actually managed using System Center, which gives customers the familiarity and tools that they're already used to using, but it's been specially configured in a manner that's conducive for being able to operate a private cloud. And at the end of all of this, you know, should a customer be desirous of actually building their own portal or be able to program against CPS for this consumption, they have a REST-based API which they can use to actually program against this as well. All of which is actually even is exposed through a billable contract, so you can actually charge a customer for the amount of usage that they incur on top of CPS.
All right, so let's kind of work through the stack here. Now, this is obviously hardware that you put into a rack, right? So what type of storage are we using here?
So I think, let me start off with the hardware itself. So CPS is actually built with a joint engineering effort between Dell and Microsoft.
Okay.
So the hardware for CPS actually is provided by Dell. And we've done a lot of work and co-engineered and partnered with them to actually to sort of develop the solution together. So specifically on the storage is actually comprised on the hardware side of four Dell MD3060E JBOD chassis, which are populated with hard disks and SSDs. SSDs giving us the ability to tier the storage. And on top of that, we actually layer four Dell R620s, which actually form the basis of our four-node scale-out file server cluster. So the hardware for storage is JBODs with four nodes of servers. And the software actually is Windows Server 2012 R2 providing storage spaces layered on top with scale-out file server exposed through the SMB3 protocol. So it's file-based protocols provided on Dell hardware.
Now, when you say SMB, I assume that's where you'd put your virtual hard disk for the virtual machines.
That's correct. So all the virtual machines in CPS store their VHDs on top of an SMB share or multiple SMB shares exposed out of the storage.
Now, do we take advantage of any of the Windows Server file system capabilities? You know, things to optimize storage space, speed things up, performance management?
Absolutely. So, you know, the way the storage is laid out, is on a single rack, we actually construct three different shares, and which are backed by three different pools. Two of these pools are used by tenant workloads, and one pool is actually used for backing up the data. And the way we've configured it is that the tenant pools are actually optimized by using triple mirror, and so there is redundancy in the data path for both for a resiliency perspective as well as for when you're actually doing writes. And the backup pool is actually configured with dual parity and deduplication, so we get maximum saving when you're actually storing our backup copies.
Okay, great. And do we have things like multipath I/O, you know, redundant access to all the storage? All the
Absolutely.
Backup?
You know, because we are using Windows Server 2012 R2, you know, the access from the Hyper-V host to the storage is using SMB. And the SMB client is smart enough to recognize that you've got multiple paths to the storage. And if both paths are open, then it will use both those paths at a full clip of 20 gigabytes per second. And of course, if one of the paths goes down, then it resorts to actually just using one of the paths, which is 10 gigabytes per second. But not only that, the hardware that we utilize for accessing the storage actually allows us to use SMB over RDMA. So we get a lot of benefits by using that as well.
All right, great. Now let's talk about the networking a little bit. So what type of networking configuration do we have? I assume you know as best practice for high availability, redundant connections everywhere, teaming. Can you just go into some more details on that?
Absolutely. So the way the CPS networking is set up is, you know, in fact, CPS all up has been architected ground up for redundancy, whether it happens to be in the disk space, in the JBODs, in the compute nodes, whether it happens to be in the physical switches that exist inside CPS, or it is whether it happens to be the actual network cards that that provide the traffic for the inbound and outbound connections for the virtual machines. Now, for the virtual machines themselves, they rely on two physical NICs, which are there in each server, both of which are actually teamed to provide redundancy. And each of these NICs actually have connectivity out to multiple physical switches, so we have full redundancy in the network path. And the VM network isolation itself is actually provided using NVGRE. So software-defined networking is the basis of how customers actually get isolation inside CPS.
Okay. Now, let's talk maybe a little bit about the compute. How powerful are these machines?
So CPS is actually sold in units of a rack. The maximum amount you can buy is four racks, and the smallest unit that you can buy in CPS is a single rack. So for a single rack, you get 32 compute servers. And each of these has two Ivy Bridge CPUs for a total of 512 cores in on a single rack. And in terms of memory, each of these nodes has 256 gigabytes of memory, giving it a total of 8 terabytes of memory in a single rack.
Wow, pretty impressive.
It is pretty powerful.
So what type of processor are these using?
So they're using an Intel Ivy Bridge E2650V2 processor. So it's one of the latest processors from Intel.
And I'm assuming, you know, that hardware is consistent throughout, right? So if you need to do a live migration between any of these different nodes, not
Absolutely.
A problem.
So, this has been fully pre-configured and deployed for all these kinds of operations, whether it's live migration or storage migration. All of these are actually, absolutely, it's a part and parcel of operating CPS.
Okay, great. Well, let's talk a little bit more about high availability here. You say there's multiple nodes. Do we have a cluster that comes out of the box here?
Yes, absolutely. So on a single rack, you know, the first and foremost, at the bottom of the rack, you actually have the storage. And the storage itself is actually created out of a four-node storage cluster. So that provides resiliency for the storage nodes. Then as you go above that, the compute nodes themselves are actually clustered as a Microsoft failover cluster. So all the Hyper-V nodes are in a single cluster on a single rack. And that gives resiliency should any of the nodes happen to fail. And failures happen in the data center all the time. And then you have two nodes which are set aside for actually providing edge cluster services for inbound and outbound NVGRE, NCAP, DCAP. And they are also in a failover cluster.
OK, great. So now, if somebody wants to actually go and acquire one of these, what's that end-to-end process? Who do they work with? Is this Microsoft? Is this Dell?
So this is a Microsoft-led offer. And I think the most fundamental thing that we wanted to make sure that customers get with CPS is a single support number that they can call.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not to say that, you know, Microsoft has, you know, start supporting hardware, but we are the single number that the customer calls should a customer have any challenges with the solution. And thereafter, what we do is that, you know, if it's a hardware problem, we will make sure that we actually you know, get Dell involved or the appropriate hardware vendor involved. In terms of actually, when you actually buy CPS, you end up signing two contracts, one with Dell for the hardware and one with Microsoft for the software and services that go along with this, which are support services that you get as a part of CPS.
Okay, so let's go through the installation process here. I decide that I want to order one of these awesome systems. What happens then?
So first of all, you know, you as a customer don't have to do any of the installation on premises. So the way this works is that once you order a CPS system, we actually do what is called as a site survey. And as a part of site survey, we collect key pieces of information from you as a customer, you know, in terms of how much power and cooling do you have, and we work with you in determining sort of what are the IP address ranges that you need in the context of for CPS. And then all that information is provided back to us, and then we automate the process of actually deploying CPS customized for the customer in the factory. And then after you know, this CPS is deployed.
Sorry, just to be clear here, we're actually assigning information, we're defining things before we even deliver the hardware
to
them.
That's correct. All of it is customized. And when CPS actually shows up on premise, it actually shows up pre-configured and pre-deployed. And it comes along with a Dell integration engineer and a Microsoft engineer. And these engineers are responsible for integrating the hardware and parts of the software stack on premises. Once the CPS box arrives at your premise, we anticipate about 2 to 4 days of work, and you're off and running and being able to create a first virtual machine right on that system.
So what type of integration does this have with existing environments? You know, I can understand that if I'm a customer that's never really deployed a cloud before, you install it, everything's up and running. What if I already have some type of existing infrastructure, existing system center, Windows Server products?
So I think you know, the key thing here is to enable customers to actually deploy their cloud. Certainly, we have an AD system on CPS, and you integrate that AD with your existing Active Directory. But CPS comes pre-configured with all the management software, all the Windows Server, all the storage that's required for you to actually operate CPS.
So what type of licenses do I need, or does that kind of come as part of this package?
So CPS actually has a separate license for the entire fabric that is given to you as a part of a subscription that you get when you buy CPS. And then you license the guest operating system separately from the fabric. And I think the key thing to recognize here is that in terms of licensing the fabric, what we have really tried to make sure is that anything that you require to operate a cloud, whether it happens to be, you know, disaster recovery, backup, monitoring, just configuration and deployment, all of those things are included as a part of CPS, and none of them are extra add-ons or buy-ons, if you will.
All right. Now, do you set specific defaults? So, you know, let's say I want to go deploy a new virtual machine. Do you guys try to optimize that, or do you use just kind of out-of-the-box standards from Hyper-V?
So I think, you know, the key value proposition in CPS is that it's deployed and configured according to the best practices of the very teams that actually have developed CPS. And what we've really done is taken our learnings from running Microsoft Azure and then brought that design point to the customer as a part of CPS. And so customers get, you know, the clustering which is pre-deployed according to the optimal manner, storage which is pre-deployed according to the optimal manner, and all of the management components integrated and deployed in an optimal manner, so much so that, you know, even the monitoring solution inside CPS is heavily customized for CPS because we know the entire architectural stack. And then we can optimize, you know, the fact that you actually don't get spurious alerts. So we've really done the work of making sure that the system is completely optimized top to bottom. Now, in terms of virtual machines, the way you actually create virtual machines on top of CPS is you walk up to the Windows Azure Pack self-service portal and then create virtual machines from there. And in Windows Azure Pack, there is a concept of a gallery which can be populated with predefined templates, if you will, for applications such as SharePoint, Exchange, Active Directory, CentOS, the LAMP stack, Red Hat, Ubuntu. Any kinds of virtual machines that we support on top of CPS can then be deployed and automated using orchestration as a part of the solution.
Now, I hear you mention Azure here, you know, as part of Windows Azure Pack. Two questions. First, does this require an internet connection, anything to hook up to Azure? And then secondly, just give us a quick overview of Windows Azure Pack.
So CPS does not require an always-on connection to Windows Azure. It is really designed to run on-premises. Mm-hmm. Now, there are certain times when you actually want to download updates, for example, which you would do in any environment. You know, go to Microsoft Update and actually download those updates. At that point of time, you do need to connect up to the internet, to the Microsoft website, or download center and actually download the packages, and then from there actually move onwards. Now, Windows Azure Pack is really the same portal that actually powers Windows Azure, is what we've taken and actually brought on-premises. And it offers a self-service experience for customers to be able to manage their resources on the cloud, whether they happen to be virtual machines, whether they happen to be websites or SQL databases, and so on and so forth.
Now, one of Microsoft's big value propositions around our cloud is this consistency of experience here. I mean, is this a good example when we say we've taken things from Azure, put them here?
This is the best example, I would say. I mean, if you actually look at it, you know, from a customer standpoint, when they're interacting with the user experience, it takes a while for customers to sort of get experience with their user experience. And our goal is to make sure that customers get the same experience whether they're running on-premises or whether they happen to be running in Windows Azure. And Windows Azure Pack enables us to do that because it's the same technology that powers Windows Azure as well as the Microsoft on-premises private cloud, like CPS. And so customers can basically use the same API surface, whether they're dealing with websites in Windows Azure or on CPS, you'll get the same API surface. And our goal is to be fully consistent eventually with Azure, where both the APIs and UX are completely consistent with Azure over time.
Okay, great. Now, as far as high availability here, what other type of redundancy do we have throughout the stack? You know, are we really trying to eliminate every single point of failure that we have?
Yes, and that's the part of what we've really done with CPS. You know, you designed it all up for redundancy from the ground up. So if you look at even from the PDUs itself, which they are actually redundant, the storage itself is redundant in terms of the number of disks that can fail as well as the JBODs that can fail. Any kind of connectivity that's inside the rack is based on a redundant connection, whether it happens to be the physical switches or it happens to be the network cards that provide the connectivity in and out of CPS. And then if you look at the software stack itself, all of the software stack itself is deployed in a redundant manner. So for example, you have two instances of Virtual Machine Manager. You have multiple instances of the Windows Azure Pack portal. So if any one of the instances goes down, it can be quickly load balanced across the other instances. Operations Manager is deployed in a redundant manner. The SQL database that backs up the state for all of the systems and the components is deployed in a four-node SQL guest cluster. So that's deployed in a redundant manner as well. All of the Hyper-V hosts are clustered, so should any of the nodes go down, the virtual machines automatically fail over to a different node.
Now, you are part of the software engineering team here. Why did you guys decide to tackle a hardware problem?
So as I mentioned previously, right, you know, when we looked at the problem of what customers are facing today when they're trying to build out private clouds, it's the software-hardware interaction boundary that really increases the complexity. And we know this from running one of the largest clouds like Microsoft Azure, where you actually run into tremendous amounts of problems, where you'll run into problems where you run a bug, or you hit a bug, and then you go back and forth trying to figure out whether it's a bug in the driver, whether it happens to be a bug in the firmware, then you need to collect additional logs, and the logs are incomplete, and then you go to this virtuous cycle of constantly having to collect logs and never be able to fix the problem. And so, you know, in order to sort of really solve the problem at its root, we decided to partner with Dell and build a solution which is completely end-to-end and allows the customer to get a cloud in a box, Azure Consistent Cloud in a box, which they can be confident of operating and confident that we are actually giving them all the learnings from operating such a large cloud ourselves.
Now, you know, you mentioned a couple of examples like Xbox Live, Outlook.com. When you say that we take these best practices and put them in the products, can you elaborate on that a little more?
Well, so, you know, if you look at the architecture of CPS, it actually is heavily influenced by how we actually operate Azure. So, for example, the networking architecture, which is a layer 3 flat network, is exactly the same network that we have inside Azure, which gives us tremendous intra-rack bandwidth, you know, or inter-rack bandwidth. And this design has come entirely from Azure. Right. So here is an example of how we are trying to bring all the learnings of actually operating Azure and bringing to you or any of the large cloud properties and bringing to you in your data center.
Now, you mentioned System Center a couple times here. What are the different System Center components that are pre-configured or pre-installed here?
So we have System Center Virtual Machine Manager, which provides all the virtual machine management and deployment capabilities inside CPS. It also provides the back-end engine which Windows Azure Pack uses for infrastructure as a service and being able to create virtual machines on the underlying fabric. We have Operations Manager, which is used for providing monitoring across the entire spectrum of the solution, ranging all the way from the software all the way down to the hardware components that are part of CPS. We have Data Protection Manager, which is used for providing backup, both for backing up the management cluster as well as the tenant virtual machines, all of which are done from the fabric perspective. So we take backup copies through Hyper-V for via DPM. And we have Windows Azure Prac, which provides the self-service capabilities on CPS.
Now, does this include every Windows Azure Pack component? This is one of the questions we have from our audience here.
So, out of the box, when you actually deploy CPS, you actually get infrastructure as a service. So service provider foundation as a capability is provided as a part of CPS. By the way, I did miss out one component from System Center, which is service management automation. So infrastructure as a service, SPF, is deployed by default. And then you can subsequently go ahead and deploy websites, the SQL resource provider, as well as the MySQL resource provider. The resource providers are deployed out of the box. You actually have to go and deploy the actual backend farms.
OK, so we have another question that's coming from one of our viewers here. So when you're building all of this, what are some of the best practices you learned? You know, some things that may be in the hardware, may be in the software, in the management, that you could give us a recommendation out to our customers that may be building their own Cloud Light system.
So, I think that, in terms of, we learned a lot of actually how to deploy the management components in the most consistent and reliable manner. So first of all, what we did was that we, our original design actually clubbed the management cluster along with the compute cluster. And then we recognized, that, with the tenant workloads on there, it can actually lead to unpredictable performance for the management cluster. So what we actually did was we actually moved the management cluster separately, and we have a 6-node Hyper-V host cluster on which we deployed all the management components. So the management components that we deploy on that actually constitute 30 virtual machines, which spread across VMM, Operations Manager, the Active Directory components, WDS, WSUS, all these are deployed in the management cluster components. And that's a separate management cluster. And then, in terms of how we actually deploy the system, we recognize that because you actually have a dependency on Active Directory, the Active Directory virtual machines are actually 3 separate virtual machines deployed on 3 separate physical hosts, but they are not made highly available because you have a circular dependency between the cluster, the storage cluster, and the Active Directory. The Active Directory system has to come up before the clusters can come up. Therefore, the Active Directory systems are actually 3 standalone virtual machines deployed on 3 separate physical hosts. They come up first, then the storage cluster comes up, and then the actual compute clusters can come up thereafter.
Now, do you do any type of clustering high availability at the guest level? So guest clustering between the virtual machines.
So we do actually do guest clustering for Virtual Machine Manager and for the guest clusters for the edge services. They're actually guest clustered. So those are the guest clusters that's actually done as a cluster. I think there's another question. What is the biggest issue that we have to solve with building CPS? I think we learned a lot in building CPS. We were challenged by the kind of integration that we had to do. We had to do a lot of work to actually make sure that the system scales and performs at scale when you're talking about a single stamp which can have 8,000 virtual machines. And so the integration of the entire stack has been an interesting challenge that we are very proud to actually have accomplished for our customers.
Great. Now, what happens if I want to have multiple data centers, multiple sites? Do we support things like replication between the two locations?
Yes, and so we recognize the fact that when you're buying a system like CPS, customers would actually want to have a disaster recovery solution. So you need 2 CPS stamps. You can put one in your primary data center and the second one in your secondary data center. And then we orchestrate disaster recovery through Azure Site Recovery. And this is completely included in the price when you buy 2 instances of CPS. And we've gone the length to make sure that on your primary site, if you're using a particular subscription to log into the Windows Azure Pack portal and access your resources, when you actually hook this up to a disaster recovery site, we will populate all the subscription information to the secondary site so you can use the same login information that you used in the primary site on the secondary site as well. And all of this is completely orchestrated through Azure Site Recovery and the DR automation that we built in as a part of CPS.
Now, what if I only have a single data center or rack? Could I do disaster recovery to the cloud?
That's a great question. And our philosophy in CPS is simple. Unless we have validated and tested it, we will not actually support that scenario. This scenario about being able to replicate into Microsoft Azure is a new scenario that's been enabled through Azure Site Recovery. And once we've been able to validate the solution on top of CPS, we will make it available to CPS customers as well. But as of now, it's not available to CPS customers.
Now, if there's an issue with the software, with the hardware, what's kind of the support contract? Who troubleshoots it? Who takes care of that?
So like I said, you know, for CPS, there is one number to call for support. You call up Microsoft, and then Microsoft will determine and root cause the problem. And if it happens to be a problem with the hardware, we will then pull in the appropriate hardware vendor so they can then actually fix the problem. But you've got to realize that, you know, CPS has been designed from the ground up, so no single component can bring down the system. So if a disk fails, the system will just continue to work. If a JBOD fails, the system will continue to work. If a NIC fails, it will just continue to work. And then it'll allow you time in the back end to go replace the component while you do root cause and figuring out what the problem is.
So what happens when, let's say, a hard drive fails? Like, what would be the process to reorder that, to replace that? Do I need to engage any specialists?
So what will happen is that if a hard drive fails, and you will call up Microsoft support, and then a Dell technician will arrive at the site with the actual hard disk. They will replace the hard disk, and then we've got software which will then basically rebuild the hard disk and bring it back into the pool. So we've done this. We have a big part of our effort has been called Field Replaceable Unit, which actually which has defined a set of processes about how each individual component that can be replaced inside CPS is replaced both from a hardware perspective as well as from a software perspective so that the customer has no challenges when we actually replace any of these components.
Now, where would be a good place for people to go learn more? I mean, you guys announced this recently. I think, you know, Satya and Scott Guthrie's blog, video's a great place, but do we have any other resources?
Well, there are a couple of great places. First and foremost, you know, anybody who's wearing this T-shirt at this conference has all worked on CPS, so come by and talk to us. All of us have a great story to tell you. Secondly, we've got a booth with a real CPS rack here. And it's a very popular booth, but do come by and talk to us. There's a lot of us here. We'd love to talk to you, get your feedback. And thirdly, there is a website, www.microsoft.com/CPS. You can go there and you have all the information available there as well.
So we're going to wrap things up shortly. What are the kind of the key things that you want people to understand about CPS? What's our key vision? What's our goal? And really, where are we trying to take this into the future?
I think our key, you know, goal is to actually enable Azure consistent on-premises private cloud for the customers. And we believe we've taken a first step in the journey of getting customers to that destination. And we'd love to hear back from customers on, you know, how they would like us to go in the future, which direction they would like us to see. We are incredibly proud, and we look forward to your feedback.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us. I hope everybody out there that's watching this live learned a lot. Certainly want to encourage them to check out this new system. And again, if you want to check out that website, microsoft.com/CPS. Well, Vijay, thank you once again for joining me on the show. You guys have done a lot of work over the last couple of years. Great solution. Hopefully our customers are going to use that and appreciate it too.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks for having us.
Bye.